Welcome to today's podcast. This is the 37th in the series titled Design for Life. Life wasn't created at a whim, nor should it be lived that way. This podcast is taken from the Sunday message. It is designed to strengthen the believer's walk and those who have not come to faith to recognize God has designed life to be lived with purpose. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Black Road. We have a special speaker, a former intern and now missionary from CRU, Dan Girard. Here is Dan with this week's message, The Power of the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit makes the Christian life powerful and possible. And his power is available to you. Okay, so go with me. The Holy Spirit makes the Christian life powerful and possible. Okay, so the Holy Spirit makes the Christian life what?
Powerful.
And?
Possible.
And his power is what? Available to you. Okay, that's the one. If you forget everything else, that's the main point today. Let's answer a couple questions, though, before we talk about basketball again. So who is the Holy Spirit? Okay, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's part of the Godhead. He is fully God. As a side note, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we speak in, as he is a he. He is not an it. It's the difference between the Force and Darth Vader, right? And the Holy Spirit in Scripture, right? So there's a significant difference. We always talk about the Holy Spirit as a person. Now, guess where we first see the Holy Spirit in Scripture? Anybody? Genesis, yeah, right away. Genesis 1:2. Oh, it's right up there. Cheating. You guys are cheating. Genesis 1:2. It says you can. We're gonna fly through these, so you can look at them if you want, or you can just trust that I'm gonna read them to you. Okay. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Here we see him intimately involved in creation. In Job 26:13, it says, by his Spirit he adorned the heavens. So right away in Scripture, in Genesis, starting off, we see that the Holy Spirit is a person and he's intimately involved in creation. From there, a quick tour of the Old Testament, we see that the Spirit works in many ways. Okay, the Spirit would give power, sometimes really great power, to individuals. Think of like Samson or Gideon, if you know those stories. Old Testament men who did exceptional and supernatural things. Okay, he gave inspired words to King David. He spoke through the prophets. The Spirit told of the coming Messiah. And here's some practical ones. Psalm 143:10. Okay? You can flip to that one. Psalm 143:10. Because this is practical for holiness and right living. It goes all the way back to Psalm 143:10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on firm footing. This is Old Testament here, folks. This isn't New Testament. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on firm footing. Would you teach me to do your will? Practical. This is very practical. If you go on to Ezekiel 36:27. I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. In the Old Testament, the spirit in you helps you be careful to obey his decrees and regulations. And what's powerful for us today is that the spirit is given to us, right? In the New Testament, he is called the spirit of truth, the spirit of life, the spirit of Christ. He is called our helper, our advocate. And Jesus says this. You can flip over to John 14:12-14. He says this, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, another helper, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. Okay? One more verse. I want you to see this. John 16, 5 to 7. But now I am going away to the one who sent me. And not one of you is going where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Jesus says, it's best for you if I go away. Why? Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. The helper won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. So what we see Jesus saying here, he says, it is best for you if I leave and the Holy Spirit comes. It's an advantage if Jesus isn't physically here and the Holy Spirit is. Do we believe this is true? Do we live these types of lives? Does our church look like this? So let me ask you this. If given the choice, and I'm giving you the answer, so you know the right answer, but I want you to think about what you would say, like what would you feel, okay? If given the choice, do you think you'd be better off if you could have Jesus come down, you know, spend a few days with you here, you know, dinners, breakfast, you know, long walks, just get to talk? Do you think you'd be better off if Jesus was here with you for a few days? How many? You're like, I know the answer, Dan. I'm not going to raise my hand. But it's true, right? Like, it just feels right. It's like, yeah, we would be obviously better off if the Son of God came down and spent some days with us. We'd be more likely to live the Christian life. We'd be more likely to live empowered, right? But Jesus says that's not true, right? Like, and that's what I just read. He says, if I tell you the truth, you will do even greater works. He says, if I don't go, the advocate won't come. You are better off with the Spirit. This is the analogy of Coach Pop versus Michael Jordan. It's better to have the Holy Spirit. It would be better to have Michael Jordan take over your body and play through you than to have the best basketball coach in the world. Okay, this is the point, remember? The Holy Spirit makes the Christian life powerful and possible, and his power is available to you. A.W. Tozer, he says that we've substituted a cheap and synthetic power for the work of the Holy Spirit. Substituted a cheap and synthetic power for the work of the Holy Spirit. Are we tired of living in a way that is no different than someone else without the Spirit? I know I am. Like, I've got the Holy Spirit within me, and so often I live a life that anybody else could live without the Holy Spirit. Okay, let me explain what I'm talking about. Where are we at in terms of time? What time are we supposed to get out of here? Jim said I had an hour and a half. Is that right? Or am I supposed to be done at 9:30 or 9:45? That's my question. 9:30? Because I got 3 minutes left, folks. No. 9:45? Okay, great. I looked back on that clock and I was like, this is not going to go well. We've got a perfect amount of time now. Great. Okay. So let me explain what we're talking about. We're going to look at three different types of people in 1 Corinthians 2 and 3. So you can open up to 1 Corinthians 2:14. In the first two, we see the first two types of people here in this passage, 14 to 16. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Okay, so that's this chair. The person, so, and what would you call the person that's sitting in this chair based on that passage? A non-Christian? Any other, how else hold off on that one. That's the right answer for another question. So the person without? The person without the Spirit, right? Or the unspiritual person. We'll call it a person without the Spirit. That's who sits in this chair. This person does not understand spiritual things, cannot discern spiritual things, does not have the Holy Spirit within them, is not walking with Jesus, and honestly, the eternal destiny of this person does not look very good. Okay? This is the person without the Spirit. Okay? So let's go on. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So we got a second chair. So who sits in the second chair? How do you... Person, what? How do you describe this person? Right, with the Spirit, the person with the Spirit, the spiritual person. Okay? So what is true of the spiritual person? Well, they've got the Holy Spirit. That's a good one. Yeah, and they understand spiritual things, right? They make judgments. They understand, like, when they read Scripture, it makes sense to them. They live a life full of the blessings and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Right? Okay. So those are the first two. You got the person without the Spirit, the person with the Spirit. I said there was three, though. So we're going to go to chapter 3. Brothers and sisters, I cannot address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? So we got a third chair. What's the title of this person? Worldly. Yeah, who said that over there? It was, oh no. This is bad news. Oh. Where are all my notes? Let's see if I can get them in order. So who said the worldly? We've got worldly. This is that person, right? Let's see. You know, staples would come in handy sometimes. Here we go. So the worldly person, what does it look like? How would you describe this person that sits in this chair? Infants in Christ. Yeah, what else? Weak. What else? ain't got no satisfaction. There you go. It's sort of true. I mean, it's just not the way the Christian life is supposed to be lived. Right? Okay, this is an uncomfortable question because we talk a lot about how it is only... And it's true. It is by faith you are saved through faith. And it's not of yourself. It's not by works so that no one can boast. Your salvation is not by works. Okay? I want to make that clear. But let me ask you this. How is the worldly person identified? Go ahead. Read that verse again. Verse 3. How is the worldly person identified? They are described as an infant, but how do you know? How do you know that worldly person is an infant? How do you know that they're worldly? Jealousy and quarreling. You know, the way that you could tell is by their actions, not by what they say they believe. That's uncomfortable. At least it is for me. Because the distinguishing factor between the spiritual person and the worldly Christian is not a stated belief, but an action. It's a life lived out. And I think we can best explain this with chocolate milk. Okay. So get ready. Okay. Can I switch to this mic? Okay. Here we go. So we got three glasses, right? And we're going to use milk as this represents the person. This represents our lives. Okay? So when I fill this up, this is a glass full of milk. It is a person. Where would this glass sit? In these chairs. The first chair, right? This is the first chair. This is the person without the Spirit. Good quality 2% milk right there, okay? I'm sure this person is we've got neighbors, they're great people, we like them, but they walk without the Spirit, right? Now this, right here, this is the Spirit. That's right. Some of you are like, it is. You're right. Praise the Lord. Okay, and so I've never seen this one before, too. This one has no high fructose corn syrup. So this is quality Holy Spirit right here. I tell you what. So the Holy Spirit, when someone professes faith in Christ, when someone puts their faith in the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes in and indwells, right, that person. He makes his home in that person, right? And I want to make this clear, this is critical. If you read Ephesians 1:13, okay, it says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit." If you put your faith in Christ, and if you believe in him, you are sealed with the Spirit. There is no possible way for you to be a Christian and not have the Spirit. In fact, it says in Romans 8:9, "You, however, are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." Just plain and simple. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So if you're a Christian, this is you. The Holy Spirit has entered your life. Now, where does this glass sit? Right? The spiritual... Oh, I'm sorry. I tricked myself. We're just going to hold off on that question. Because there's a third glass here. Sorry about that. Don't sit on this chair for a while. So we need a spoon for this next glass. Because to really make chocolate milk, you need a spoon. And what happens when you stir up this syrup is that it becomes a whole new glass. The Spirit is throughout the milk, right? Maybe I should do it over here. So this is the chocolate milk that we all want to drink. This is the chocolate milk of power, right? But too often, all too often, I think most Christians live their lives like this chocolate milk. We live sitting, so this is a spiritual person. And we end up sitting right here. I'm throwing everything all over the place today. I'll be back on this one. Okay. And we live like this. instead of like this. Okay, that. And when you live like this, what does that life look like? You know that you probably know the verse, right? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what that looks like. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We end up living like this, and I think we live like this for two different reasons. One, I think we live like this because of disobedience. But I also think we live like this sometimes simply because of lack of understanding. Now remember, the Holy Spirit makes the Christian life what? Powerful and? And the Spirit's power is what? Available to you, right? So now you're asking, but Dan, how does one move from like regular to chocolate? I mean, sorry, from regular, how does one move from regular to chocolate? I'm glad you asked. That's a very, very good question. Well, you move from regular to chocolate by faith, right? You put your faith in the Lord. You confess your sin and you say, God, I know that I'm a sinner and I need you. Would you come into my life and make me the type of person you want me to be, right? And now you're asking, you say, well, okay, I understand that, Dan, but if I'm here, how does one move from this life, from the worldly life, to the spiritual life? That is a great, great question. Thank you for asking. It's the same way. The way we move from here to here is through faith. Okay, let me read you this. Galatians 3:1-6. O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. So he's saying, did you receive the Holy Spirit because of something you did? Of course not. It's by faith you've been saved, right? You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. You believed what you heard. Verse 3, how foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. Paul says, you did not receive the Spirit because of what you did. That's not how you received the Spirit. It was by faith in the promise of God. Faith in what Jesus did. And he says, you do not live the Christian life by your own effort, but by the power of the Spirit, by believing in this, in what the Lord said, right? By believing in what you heard. So to put this into practice, how does this look? What does this look like on a daily basis? How can we live this out? If you desire to have a life marked by the Spirit, what's next? Okay, how do you do this? Okay, I want to make it really practical, and this is a classic, classic crew teaching. I bet you Pastor Jim taught this when he lived in Argentina. Argentina, right? Yeah. I mean, it's been around. I mean, not that long. But it's been around a long time, okay? And But I think it's so powerful. In fact, I was talking with, it was Gary, right, earlier? Greg? Where's Greg? There he is, back there. I was talking with Greg earlier, and we were talking about this very same thing, and he knew it. Because, like, this is something that we have taught over and over, but it's so powerful. I think we all need to just be reminded of this. It's called spiritual breathing, okay? And it's a simple practice of exhalation and inhalation. Breathing out and breathing in, Right? And the first thing that we do is we confess our sin. And we believe that when in 1 John, the Bible says that if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We believe that that's true. And so we breathe out. When we recognize that we have committed a sin, that we're walking in sin, we're not close to the Lord, we breathe out and say, God, forgive me. We confess our sin. That's the first part. And then the second part is this inhalation. And this is where the Holy Spirit, his power, we receive his power in a really unique way. This is where we go from this, unstirred up chocolate milk, to stirred up chocolate milk. And we do it because in 1 John 5:14, we believe his promise. He says that we're confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. Okay, so it's we believe in his promise that he hears us. And if we ask something that pleases him, that he gives it to us, right? So that's the promise that we believe. And then we know that he commands us. In Ephesians 5:18, he says, be filled with the Spirit. Okay, so we believe in his promise and his command. And so we exhale, God, forgive me. And then we inhale and we say, and now God, by your Spirit, would you make me new again? Would you come in? Would you enter? And would you help me live this Christian life out? Right? And it's a cycle that you can continue throughout the day. And it doesn't have to be formal. You don't always have to think I'm exhaling and inhaling. But it's this idea of being present to where you're at with the Lord. And Jim was telling me this morning, he was like, you know, if you left that chocolate milk sit for an hour, what would happen? It'd start to settle out, right? And that happens with us too. That happens with our lives in Christ. If we just sit, just go about our daily life without sort of any paying any attention to the Lord's work, what happens to us too? We disconnect from the power of the Spirit, from his filling. And we start to settle out, and we need to be stirred up again. So let's do this together. Imagine with me if we became more and more a church, a body. I mean, I attend a church in San Antonio, but we are part of this universal church, right? Imagine if this local body, if we became more and more a church of people who lived lives filled with the Spirit. Willing to listen to him, willing to be moved by him, willing to have our lives changed by him. What would happen? What happened in your life? What happened in our lives? How would our families be affected? How about our workplaces or our jobs or our neighbors, right? How would that affect them? How about our cities that we live in? If we just took one small step to ask God to fill us and then walk in that, what would that do? How would that change us? It'd be powerful. Now you think back to Coach Pop and Michael Jordan, okay? You think back and you say, I know that Michael Jordan playing through me would be the best, but I don't think as Christians we need to make this distinction. We have the Holy Spirit working through us, and we have the Scripture and God teaching us. We have the coach and the player. And if we desire, we can have the Holy Spirit empower us for great impact. Remember, the Holy Spirit makes the Christian life powerful and possible, and his power is available to you. To end, we're going to pray together. And it's a prayer that my kids and I, it's sort of our own liturgy. We pray this every morning. And it's a simple prayer. It says the Holy Spirit. I think the next slide. And we pray, dear God, we thank you for your Spirit. Please help us, please fill us today and help us to live empowered and controlled by you. Amen. So if you'd stand with me, we're going to end and we're going to pray together if you so desire. You don't have to, but if you'd like to pray with me, let's just pray this. Dear God, we thank you for your Spirit. Please fill us today and help us to live empowered and controlled by you. Amen.
Thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, the 37th in the series, Design for Life. If you enjoy listening to this podcast, let me encourage you to donate to this ministry. You will find a donate tab at BethelGilead.org. Until then, go out and experience the design for life as God's ambassadors, commissioned to a world in need of the gospel. God bless you.